Thanks for tuning into the Firehouse Chronicles with Matt and Katie Spinks, stumbling our way through the glory since 2008. These are our ongoing episodes of revelations into the simple and blissful gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us at thefirehouseprojects.com, find more on our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel at You Are Gods on YouTube, or find these podcasts on any of the podcasting platforms, Apple Music, Spotify, etc. We're also on Instagram. Find us all over the internet. We just want to share the joy, the ecstatic bliss of the unconditional love of Jesus and our union with Him. So enjoy the episodes and maybe even consider sharing the link with a friend. Well, welcome everybody. We're doing another Firehouse Chronicles. In 2024, we're doing some conversations. I've just been wanting to do some interview podcasts, and these will be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and then also the video version on YouTube. A lot of you tuned in last week when we interviewed Martin Boyden, who was awesome. We had time with Martin down. He's from Austin, Texas. But this week, I want to introduce you, if you don't already know, John Almiger, a good friend of mine that we've connected. It's been over like 15 years now, I think. And John is, yeah, bro. John's coming from, newly moved to Tennessee, but he's kind of close to the Asheville area, Asheville, North Carolina, /Tennessee. So John's been recently doing some more YouTube videos that I've been excited about. We'll do a plug for that. But I just love this dude. You know, we met in probably like an early John 08. Crowder conference.
It was 08. Yeah. John and Ben and Winnie. And it was Joshua and
it was a manifestation.
What was that lady's name?
Yeah.
What was her name again?
Lucy Rael.
Gotcha. I was trying to remember her name the other day. I was telling someone about that. I was literally telling somebody, like a colleague of mine, like 2 days ago about that. And I was like, I don't share this. It's like, it's, you know.
Well, it's on the internet now, bro.
That was awesome.
Where were you?
I mean, I was literally, do you remember what happened? Like, I was like, she'd get some more knowledge, and I went up and I was like, I think that's for me. It was like pretty distinct, but then I like felt it. I felt like grabbing them on the ground, and the next, you know, like moments later, the stigma in
her hands. You were up
like
the front.
I was up at the front. I had like front row, like view. It was like literally the stigmata and like the gold and the oil, and it was insane. I wasn't even planning on coming to that, but it was absolutely awesome and wild, and I'm sure very scandalous and offensive to some people, but it was real.
That's what I've always loved about you too, man, is that you're just open to whatever God is doing, you know, even if it's way outside the box. And that's what we met
yeah,
outside the box, bro. You know,
yeah. That was
also just a little introduction with John. You know, we've done trips together. We've met at different parts of the country. We hung out in Santa Cruz when Crowder and Ben were starting
your guys' hometown.
Yeah, John's been up here when we were doing the mystical monastery when we had 15 drunk people living together in one house. Yeah. John would come up and visit, you know, we really bonded over some of the revelation early about just our divinity in Christ, you know, and a partakers of the divine nature. And John and I have fellowshipped a lot about that, you know, theosis, you know, and the You Are God's revelation. Yeah. And we've walked through some of the, you know, the highs and lows of that. Some of the, we've seen friends go off the deep end with some of that stuff, but I've always appreciated you, bro. It's like, I felt like you had a really biblical perspective of that, and just healthy and humble. Like, you weren't trying to become a guru by like, you know, talking about our divinity. You were just excited about our identity and Christ, like that we've underestimated who we are, you know? And, so we could obviously talk about that on this podcast, but I just wanted to have John, you know, I just wanted to have you on, bro. And just, you know, my heart this year has been to have people on my podcast that it's almost like I was just talking to another guy like spiritual authority is something that just kind of arises organically. Like when people, you know, there's kind of, sometimes there's like titles and designated authority where people will go, this guy is a pastor, this guy is an apostle, you know, this guy, whatever. But I just wanted to have people on the podcast that I've seen over the years, like demonstrate that you don't need a title. You didn't need, you're not like, you're not in my life because, you know, someone told me you're a great pastor or you have all these, you know, letters behind your name, but I've witnessed your life, bro. And I just love it. And to me, whenever I hang out with you, I feel Holy Spirit and the gospel. And so people, I want others to be hearing from, bro. Like, and so, and then having you on, I just wanted to invite you then to just share what's bubbling out of your heart right now, you know, and what, yeah, what are you excited? What is, you know, what's Holy Spirit leading you in? And so it's a very wide open kind of
format. Totally. But, and it's okay. I'm like trying to, from one of the things you shared earlier, like I remember when you, I was actually having discussions with people about, you know, that kind of hard topic of, it really is just true sonship is all it is. Like if you're a son of somebody, you're gonna have the same DNA, the same, you know, the partaker of their nature, you know, it's all it really is. But it was interesting. I remember like literally, and I have great respect, and I honestly, I'm grateful that they said what they said because they were doing it out of love. But basically I shared this video, and the director of the school that I went to school to study the Bible, he wrote back and was like, hey, no Orthodox teachers ever taught this before. And I was just like, I didn't really know what to respond. I was like, well, I'm just going to sit on this because I don't really have a response, you know? And then I remember shortly after, you actually wrote all these, like the early church fathers quoting these things, like, right. You know, I mean, just like these things, so scandalous. Yeah. And it was like, and that's why I was able to share that. I was like, I mean, literally like Athanasius, the father of orthodoxy, like, you know, like people that wrote books that were called like Against Heresies, like these people were writing about the divine nature by grace alone, you know, by grace alone, by God's grace alone. So anyways, I just wanted to like, but yeah, so, but when you reached out recently and you were saying, hey, what would you want to talk about? And like, and it was interesting because you had mentioned like possibly doing something like this. And then, and I was like, I started thinking like that morning before you even wrote about what, and I started just thinking about specifically sharing about how do we, so we're a new creation in Christ. You know, the sin nature has been stripped from us. You know, our old sinful self has been crucified of Christ, raised to newness of life. You know, we're consider ourselves dead to sin, to have no relationship with sin. But then what do we do if we do sin, or if we're living in, if we have a habitual thing, or if we're for, or if our mind has trauma or torment, like what do we do then? How do we then walk out that and be honest with where, with what's going on, and like, come on, bro. talk with relationship with the Lord and relationship with brothers and sisters in the Lord, like how do we walk that out and what do we do? And that was like, and that was kind of like in a nutshell, just what my mind was thinking. And you were saying that at least on some of those things, maybe not all that, but like you guys have been talking about that specifically recently.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously that's always an ongoing conversation in the body of Christ, you know, and you all addressing it all the way back, you know, in Romans 6 and 1 John, you know, John's addressing it in 1 John 3. But lately, you know, I think especially because the church is becoming more trauma informed, for example, some of the science of psychology, of therapy modalities, like a lot of this stuff is being developed. So there's a lot of people kind of talking about that. And just to be honest, mental health, like, you know, since the COVID crisis, it's like, and I think someone was just talking the other day, since we're all using devices and we're on our phones and we're looking at screens all the time, it's like mental health has been such a bigger issue. So there's just a lot of people talking about all this stuff. And so, you know, for those of us that have been proclaiming for years that you're whole, you're complete, you're lacking nothing, you're healed by his stripes, you were healed. It's always been an ongoing conversation. How do you address when someone feels stuck or someone's stumbling or in a habitual negative pattern? So, but even more so, you know, lately, and it's been ramping up, it's almost every conversation I have, someone comes back to this, and whether they're struggling personally, or they're just, you know, concerned for others that are struggling personally, or they just want to be faithful, or, you know, so I love to continue to have a conversation. Our last podcast with Martin, we touched on it a bit, and I'm teaching a series right now in our online church called Mystical Truth Therapy, you know, and it's really, you know, stuff and how, you know, the truth sets us free. But yeah, I'd love to hear what's on your heart, bro. Like, what have you been seeing and what have you found as important, like for you personally or in relationship with others? And for your heart, bro.
One thing that like, I feel like is so, you know, it's so foundational, it's so simple, and it's so just authentic and real, but it sometimes can, you know, sometimes we can be like stuck on like an idea of like a revelation and a truth, but yet not walking in relationship, you know, right? You know what I mean? And it's, so it's like the whole thing, like you can have all this revelation truth, but if you have not love you, it's like, whatever, it doesn't even matter. And so it's like, if we're not like walking in relationship with the Lord and actually still like really like talking with them, you know, if there is something that's coming up, you know, it's like, it's not just like I intellectually agree with something. It's literally like the living relationship with the Trinity. And so, obviously that's something we're all growing and like understanding in the depths of it. Of course, like, I mean, forever. But at the same time, it's like, it's not like a, you know, it's just something that, just like any relationship, you know, it's just like, it's being vulnerable, being transparent, being honest. And like,
come on, bro. That's so good.
But I think it's so important that we start with the fact that like, we don't get a vote on what truth is, you know, like we don't get a vote.
Yeah.
It's not a democracy. This is a kingdom. And what God says is truth. And it's a relationship with this person who knows all these things. And so like, we're like, okay, if you say these things, I want to believe it, but I don't just want to believe it in like this intellectual way. I want to like relationally communicate with you. And so like, and you know, and experience you and taste and drink of you. And so we're this like dance where, you know, so you, not a dance, but basically this it's I think so many times it's so easy to just be like, oh, I just intellectually agree with this thing and I'm not experiencing it, you know, but it's like, that's not it, you know? And obviously I feel like I have to be reminded of that by the Lord so many times, you know? And it's like, this is you and me. Like, there's nothing more than that, you know? It's like, you know, and so I know that doesn't really answer the question, but that kind of, I just feel like that's like in my opinion, that's like the starting point. Like, you know, it's really like, it's like all these things that he says, all these truths he says, but in the context of really walking with him. Yeah.
Dude, that's so important, man. And I think that is why sometimes people can get frustrated with, you know, such a strong teaching emphasis of the gospel or the finished work. Is like, they'll end up in a place where they think we're just telling them, okay, like you need to brainwash yourself, or you need to like do mentally kind of like jump these mental hurdles, you know, or it's like a gymnastics that you play. Like, I feel good if I can just say this enough, believe this enough, like, you know, and something I've been noticing recently, like I'm not really like a great pastor, but I've had to learn, you know, cause I love community and I do love relationships. Like I've had to learn more and more pastoral skills. And one of the things I've just noticed with so many people is just talking about things helps. Just talking, like and talking in a safe atmosphere where you're not having to have all of your ducks in a row all the time, where you can make a mistake, you can say something wrong maybe in a conversation, but you're just trying to get it out there, just trying to share with. I love what you're saying is like, if you know, we have that kind of relationship with Trinity, like Father, Son, Holy Spirit, real with us. They're not saying, here's the gospel, now you go figure out how to apply it. You know, now mentally figure out how to, you know, but you can talk with them, like talk therapy with Holy Spirit, you know, just saying like, Lord, I don't understand this, or I'm struggling with this. And that's probably, bro, honestly, one of the keys, you know, why you're still healthy and happy these 15 years is that you're talking with God, you know.
Like, I honestly feel like it's one of my I think it's also one of my greatest struggles as well. Like, it's like, sometimes I'll be like, intellectual, I know this is true. And then it's like, whoa. It's not about like being right, or like, you know, like, or like having some, it's funny. It's like, it's like the thing I can speak to. I feel like it's probably been my, you know, a bigger struggle of my own, you know, is like being like intellectually agreeing with something. And then like, and not that it's always been that way, but you know, there's moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't realize. I'm just like, I'm not really like, walking this out with the Lord. I'm just like, you know, trying to like intellectually, you know, like whatever,
yeah.
You know, just being real.
Down and like, right? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, before we make a Facebook post or a video about it, we should just talk to God about it. But, you know, another thing that just comes to mind is something my dad, Lynn Spinks, for those of you who don't know, my earthly dad would often say is take it personal. Like when you get something like this, take it personal and make it personal. Like, and I think the way that we, you know, our personhood and these truths become personal is in relationship with the person, the person's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So there's interaction around it. And I love though that, you know, cause there's some people that emphasize that and they haven't, they aren't really rooted in the gospel. So every conversation they're having, they're like wondering, you know, they think sometimes, oh, well, I was talking with God about my pain and God told me that like, that he sent me this pain, you know, and on purpose. And you're like, oh, this is where it helps to like be rooted in the gospel a bit so that you're not, you know, in these lenses where you think you're hearing God tell you that he's here to torture you or something, you know, but like, so that's why it's, you know, some people would be like, yeah, all we need is just to talk with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which is true. But a lot of the ways that they communicate is even through, you know, the teachings of the historic church or through the scripture or through a brother and sister reminding you of the gospel. So, but when you, you know, like you said, the truth is true. You know, we don't get to decide, we get to vote on it. So, but yeah, relating, bro. That's just super good. Super good.
So it's so good. Like you said, though, like it's like the litmus test is like, the litmus test is the scripture, you know, this litmus test of like, you know, even the things that it talks about, this is the, basically the fruit of the spirit. This is the basically the overflow of like the flesh. I love that it clarifies. And I love the way that Paul even says it. Cause he's like, he's not saying like, if you do this, you have, you know, you're, you know, like he's saying, this is the overflow. He's not saying like, you could act this way and act that way. And it may not even, you know, like fully dictate who you are, but this is the overflow, natural overflows of this. And this is the natural flows of that. Yes. And so, you can use that as like a, oh wait, I'm not walking in my true identity here. And like, be like, Lord, like, you know, you can ask him why, or you can just be like, Lord, I ask that you would just overflow in me your, the fruits of your spirit, and not try to not do anything, but just be like, yes and amen. Like I'm asking you, then I'm trusting not myself to do it, but your spirit literally to, do what you said, where it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's this is a whole nother podcast, but something I've been thinking about lately is you know, when we do want to make sure like what we're hearing or just checking our revelation, you know, I think that's actually a good thing to do. I've been learning about the value of the historic church more and more as well. You know, something I just heard an Eastern Orthodox guy say this recently. He said, we don't write our beliefs down in a catechism because Jesus isn't just the truth, but he's also the way. And in order to learn the truth, you have to get around people and practice it with them. And he's just emphasizing the value of the historic church. Like he's just saying, you know, a lot of us have been focused on orthodoxy so much, but there's this orthopraxy as well. So it's like, you know, right practice and just interesting, you know, so the scriptures are really there to keep us in check, but also the historic church is not like, even though the historic church has gotten off many times, you know, but it's still the body of Christ. So there's this strong, you know, influence of Christ in there that we, you know, anyway, another whole.
No, I love it. It's so true. I mean, there's certain things that were corrected, and then like the correction brought other issues, and like, you know, I clearly like know that like, I'm 100% certain there are things that I believe that are wrong. Otherwise I wouldn't have, you know, grown every different year and some, you know, like learn something every year, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? It just wouldn't, you know, like it's the statistics are showing me that I'm wrong about something right now. Like, you know, like I don't know what it is yet, but I'll find out some of it at least like along the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I remember when you shared even those quotes of the old church father I was talking about earlier, it's like, I still am like, I have like one book of like some old church fathers, like different like letters, but I'm like, I really would love to even know like good sources. Sometime I'll separate side thing, but I'll pick your brain on that. But yeah.
Yeah. If you want to go down that rabbit trail more too, John Crowder's been referring me to like Jordan Daniel Wood, this guy who's writing a lot on the writings of Maximus. Oh, wow. And the union of divinity and creation. Jordan Daniel Wood's a really good one. Just throwing that out there for
whatever. Okay.
I don't even know where I stand with all, because I haven't.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't read it yet, but it's something to be curious. Yeah, like to. Yeah.
It's heady theology, but it's like he's one of the foremost scholars, or at least, you know, in a public way regarding Maximus the Confessor. Really good stuff. But anyway. But bro, so some of the other stuff, I don't want to redirect you. I kind of just took us down a different route.
No, you're good. Like, even when we were talking about last time, I was just mentioning, like, you know, that it's no longer us who live, but Christ lives in us. Like, I feel like that verse, Galatians 2:20, you know, that I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, not like the sinful flesh, but this physical body. I live by faith, Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I feel like that verse is like so like just packed with like so much. It's basically saying, if we want to live the life where it's no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us, we reckon that our old self has been dead. And then we cast our eyes and trust in the one who gave himself for me and loved me. And it's like, you're casting our eyes on his sacrifice and his affections. And if we put our trust in his affections and his sacrifice, we will experience this life that we talk about, where it's not us living, but our old self is dead, and it's Christ living in us. Yeah. And that's why he calls us the believers, right? It's like, it's just simple faith, you know, and like in him. And but it's keeping our eyes on him, though. You know, it's like, as we see him, you know, there's the two parts in 1 John where it says, like, as he is, so are we. But then it says, when we see him, we will be like him. It's like we're the sons of God, but yet like the earth is waiting for the manifestation. And as we see him, we'll manifest more and more. So I mean,
yeah, bro, that's so a lot of what we were even talking about last night in our Jubilee. It's like, how many times in the New Testament does Paul or the other writers of the epistles just say, like, set your minds on this, or you know, behold Jesus, like fixing our eyes on Jesus, you know, whatever is true, whatever is noble, think about such things, like directing our attention back to, you know, because objectively, ontologically, we are already as he is in this world, but subjectively in our experience, you really are experiencing what you're kind of meditating on, you know? So if you're meditating on, you know, if you're distracted into, you know, the, you know, Romans 12, again, like, do not be conformed by the pattern of this world. If your mindset's going back to the pattern of this world, you know, performance-based religion and judgments and, or whatever evil thing, if you've given yourself over to some evil practice, you're going to bear that fruit. But it's like Brother Lawrence said, right? Like, I kept myself by a simple attention and a general fond regard to God, right?
That one's so good. Well, it's so good. Say that again. It's so good.
Yeah. I just kept myself by a
general idea,
fond regard to God, which often caused me raptures and great delights and ecstasies or whatever. You know, he said, I've abandoned all forms of set prayers and devotions, but
that's Brother Lawrence, right?
General
practicing
presence. Yeah, dude. Exactly, bro. That, like, you know, just a general, like, oh, there you are, Lord. Oh, I'm looking at you again, and I'm looking at your person and your work. Whoa, like, by experience and in history and in present tense, and whoa, like, overwhelmed. Yeah, you're right. There's something about attention or beholding, or, you know, there is something about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I'm probably totally like reaching for something, but like, the goats that reproduced, they were experiencing intimacy that Jacob had, and they looked at something, and as they were being intimate, they transformed in some way to the image of the thing that they were looking at while they were being intimate, you know, while they were mating, the goats that Jacob had or whatever, and they were spotted and striped or whatever. Remember that? Like, it was like Laban was his father-in-law. Laban, his father-in-law, like, was like, he's like, oh, he's like, just give me all the spotted and the, you know, the striped ones. And then like, I'm not saying like that that's like a actually physically happens, but I think there is something to, unless there's a miracle or weird miracle, but like, there's something to like, what our affection, what you know, like people that look at, like, they're, you know, looking at porn. Like, I mean, there's like, there's things that happen in their life later, you know, like oftentimes, not always, right, but same time either way, you know, it's like, and so like, and no judgment like on people, but it's like, but at the same time, if there's certain things that just bring forth certain things, you know, and it's like, yeah, and the affections of our heart. I love that verse that says, above all things, guard your heart, you know? It's a wellspring of life. Above all things, that is a radical statement. Above everything, period. Like,
yes,
every single thing, guard your heart. And it's like, whoa, Lord, like, wow, that's like such a, it's like a such, it can be like a, oh, like, is what a radical invitation into wonder, into delight. What a radical invitation into pleasure and in treasuring the King. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good, bro. Yeah. I think a lot of what we're talking about here is like, it's participation in the divine life. I think, as the Torrances would say, it's like, it's not how you get in, because you're already in. It's not how you get, you're already saved, but it's, you know, when she said abide in me, like, it's, he wouldn't have said that if there wasn't an option of you kind of not abiding. You're already in, but it's just a conscious abiding that bears good fruit. You know, you want to, you're already in the divine life. You're already included in the Trinity. And that was something we were trying to talk about last night too. Is like, anytime you talk about anything practical, like, religion wants it to work. And, and oftentimes if we still have a separation mentality, or we still feel like maybe God's going to count us out if we don't do something, then we could even hear some of this stuff and be like, oh gosh, if I don't do this enough, am I going to be okay? Like, is God still going to love me? I'm going to be included. It's like, no, that's not like, you are 100% in.
Yeah.
You can't get away from Jesus. You're Siamese twins with Jesus forever.
you can't know, be like, loved any more than you already love. Your love is fully like,
But there, and you know, and ultimately, even these setting of our affections is something that Holy Spirit inspires.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, what's the verse? It's like, it is God who wills and does within you to every good
thing. Work in through
so
you.
Still, like, there's still, it's by the bubbling,
actually,
inspiration.
All, all it is just simple faith. It's like, oh wait, no, God loves me. Like, it's just, it's really like, you know, the Galatians 2:20, it's like that he gave himself for me and that he loved me. You know, I just think it's so funny. Like, even the word abiding, like, if you look at, like, it's kind of weird, like, in there, it's like kind of like a little bit of digging, but like, it's basically says, how do we know that we abide? We know that we abide by either the Spirit that he's given us, that we love one another, or that we believe in, you know, Jesus Christ. Like, literally, if you dive in a little bit, like, all this is just like me holding, like constantly walking in that trusting, like a constant, like a moment by moment, just like, not like in not in a legalism, not in a religion, but just like, he's the living person. It's it goes back to that point of what we're talking about, like the relationship. It's like, he's with me. He's God with us, and he loves to do everything with us. And he literally is he's the spice of life. Like, he is life, and it's like everything becomes like full of aroma when we're doing it with him. And it's just like, whatever it is, like, you know, he said, like, Brother Lawrence, like, he was washing dishes. You know, like, people would come and travel the world to see him wash dishes because he was swept away in the walk with the living one. So good.
Yeah, some of it is just learning simple healthy habits. You know, it's like in all of our attempts, you know, or just a clear proclamations of the gospel, even, that we're saying, like, it doesn't depend on you. It's not about your works and your efforts.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just find people that then it, because of that, and like, because they've been a part of religion so long, they kind of swing the pendulum to the other side where they just reject all healthy habits. You know,
they may even want to do those things, but they're like, I'm not going to do that, because, and I've walked through that where I was like, I grew up in like very, like I think a very religious kind of, faith. And then like, when I remember being like, I want to like make sure I'm not, like, you know, and it's like, but it's, it's, That can almost be this like wrestling match where you're not even at rest, you're not even enjoying the gospel, you're not even like you're not even walking out what you're created to walk out because you're like trying not to make sure you do this, and it's it can get silly, but yeah.
No, like it's funny. I've met some people where I almost feel like some of like for example, there are like gratitude trainings out there. Have you ever heard of like some of these seminars where they literally are just training you to learn to be grateful? Because a lot of people, they didn't grow up in that atmosphere. They didn't, maybe they grew up around a lot of negativity, a lot of complaining, or maybe they've just been traumatized and hurt so much that they've gone through so much crap that it's hard for them to even be grateful, and so sometimes I'm like, so that's one. Or sometimes like somebody's, been struggling with drugs and alcohol for like so long, or they find themselves steeped into these things. It's like sometimes I'm like, you know what? For you, enrolling in some sort of like program that actually develops healthy habits is great. And people think, oh, these gospel guys, they'll never tell you to do like a, 28 days in rehab, or they'll never tell you to like go to like a self-help seminar. I'm like, honestly, that's not my go-to, of course. Like the gospel is like the context, and you never want any of those things to be your foundation. Like if you're going to AA, for example, like that's not going to be the foundation of your life. Or you're going to a gratitude training, that can't become your Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That can't become your new gospel. But a lot of times, like sometimes there are practical things that you can just learn to make a new habit, go and engage in a skill. That's how you learn. Like if you want to learn an instrument, you go and you practice the instrument, but don't just think I'm in the gospel, all the instruments are going to come. Like there's
It's
a
almost like
beautiful,
saying like it's wrong to go to the doctor. It's like, well, you don't put your trust in the doctor, but yet there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor, Like, I mean, like he's not the great
yes,
physician, but he is a physician, Like the great physician is
that's
God,
it.
but yeah, there's nothing simple or wrong to go to a doctor.
Sometimes we had to come against that stuff because people have been looking to it as their savior, for whatever reason, they're like, oh yeah, the AA program is my savior, or this, gratitude training is my savior, or even a doctor, like I only believe in medical science and I don't believe in the great physician. It's like those, it's just they have to be put in their place, kind of. And so, for the average everyday person, they're not necessarily like needing to go to a rehab or a gratitude training, but they might just need to, to make a few healthy habits, find a rhythm of life where it's like, hey, I'm wh whatever it may be, I'm going to take 5 minutes in the morning and just sit in silence and notice the Lord's presence, or whatever it is. I'm going to actually intentionally go to a church meeting every week, or like I'm going to,
Open my
whatever
Bible so day or something.
yes, bro. Yeah, and I'm always hesitant to prescribe any of that stuff. In my books, I talk about, I call these things ways the Holy Spirit often uses. I don't like the term spiritual disciplines as much, or like things, because it's actually a joy. And also, as soon as you prescribe them, it's like you've taken the relational aspect out of it, and it's become a program, So, but I think you're right, bro.
I lean against that as well. I don't think that it's necessarily wrong to call it that, but I lean against it as well. Like, hey, you need to do this. It's just like, well, actually, if you look in the Bible, it doesn't actually say that. I don't think anywhere.
Yeah, true.
And it, you'd think of anywhere it'd be, like if it was like the way it was supposed to be, like you'd be like, shh. But obviously, like I love reading the Bible. I love praying. I love communing with the body of Christ, and those things are all like healthy, life-giving things, and they're and they should be part of our lives. Like they're not so much. I shouldn't say should, but like, but maybe, yeah, they but they they're life-giving. They're like they're natural parts of being a new creation in Christ. They're a natural overflow of that, and it's like we were talking about before, like, the Bible just being a good litmus, the relationships with others, relationship with the Lord, relationship with others. Like, it's like you're saying, like, when you're walking this out with others, what did you call it? The orthoprosy? Is that walking it out with others?
Like right practice, kind of right. Yeah, walking the way. Yeah.
And when we're walking in relationship with people, it's like people can see stuff that's going on in our hearts, and it gives a like an open and also hopefully we're being transparent and vulnerable as well, because I mean, there's different seasons that people go through, and people might be doing great and might be doing all types of great things, but then like maybe their heart's like in a really really tough spot for whatever reason, like either fear or just believing a lie, and that's not true, and which goes back to like believing the gospel, which goes back to these things that the Lord's the one that actually brings us out of those things. But at the same time, like sometimes he does it through Christ and Matt or Christ and, a friend,
Yeah. That's so good, bro. I love that, man. Being vulnerable with the Trinity, actually talking, being vulnerable with others, like just talking, just being open and knowing, I mean, when we've been hurt so often, we're often afraid of that, but that Father, Son, Holy Spirit are always a safe place to talk about struggles. And then hopefully we can learn to cultivate some parts of the body of Christ where we can do that with one another too. And, if someone's watching this podcast and you're like feeling stuck in an area, I think it really can just help to talk about it with somebody, or there's an area you want to see more growth in. Like, even if you're not stuck and you're just like, man, I want to see like more healings manifest in my life. I want to see more, like, start talking about it. Yeah. Haven't you experienced that too? It's like, you just start talking about testimonies, you start talking about, and then stuff starts to happen more,
That's
it's
literally like, right. You're talking about it. Yeah. Oh
yeah, bro.
Oh, I love it, man. Yeah. I so miss you, man. So good to see you. I want to see your face in person sometime soon. I want to share a couple stories, if that's okay. That I feel like they're kind of maybe vulnerable. Is that okay? It's okay, Matt.
Please do.
Yeah,
I'd love it.
I remember when I was really, really, really new believer, and really early on. And I'm not trying to make, like you were saying, like make any like, hey, this is a practice. This is what someone should do in any way. Like, these are just things that like that happened with me as I was walking with the Lord, and and figuring out life, and still am figuring out life and still walk with the Lord. But so it was early on, like this one specific story. It was early on, and I remember I was at a mission school, and there was people talking about stuff that I just had no grid for. I mean, I was like a really, really new believer, like really, really new believer, like within like probably days, basically was grasping like the basic foundation, like grasp, like of the gospel, and and they were talking about like, even just angels and demons. And I was literally just like, I had no grid for any of that. And I just remember like I had wrestled a lot with like, basically just had become a believer, and like had wrestled a lot with like pride and fear and lust. And I remember just being like, well, I was actually at like a little small group thing that was part of the mission, like mission train school thing. And, it was all guys. And I was like there, and I was praying about these things. I was like, God, like if that, cause I just basically was like, oh wait, this, that like, that the fact that even not, I'm not trying to give any credit to demons, right? Like at all. I'm not trying to give like highlight them. But at the same time, like the Bible talks about them as like something that isn't in the world. And I don't think it was possession. I think it was, but I think that like the thing is, fear, whatever it is, like fear is not part of that my inheritance as a believer. Lust is not like, whatever the other one was, pride, they're not my inheritance as that. And I was just like, and it's not a work. It's not like I need to like bust, like hard to, whatever. So I was like praying. I was like, God, will you like take this away? And I felt like the Lord said, ask these guys to pray for you. And I did. And like when I prayed, nothing happened, except for I felt like he said to ask them, and then and I prayed and asked them, and I felt literally this like weight lift off my shoulders. Literally a weight was off my shoulders. And I later that day I had like my kitchen duties, which happened to be doing dishes, which fondly, as we're talking about Brother Lawrence, I was fondly, and I started laughing. And I didn't even have a grid for like any sort of like, anything of the Holy Spirit, like anything. So I guess I had like one experience, like just a few days before that, like literally a few days before that. And, so I'm like laughing, and I'm like, just laughing, like, just like how amazing, just in awe of God's power and his goodness. And, I'm laughing. And then I go to this worship service, and like, I just get like completely, I mean, just like, just worshiping and enjoying the bliss. And literally it was like a pretty crazy encounter, kind of thing. I didn't see anything, but it was like a pretty crazy encounter. But afterwards, I remember getting up and like literally stumbling like to go to my room, and I had no grid for any of this stuff. And it was just like the Lord was doing something. And a part of it was like listening to him. Part of it was being transparent, but part of it was I didn't even like I wasn't my agenda to be transparent. It was like his agenda. And I asked him for something. And he said, "How about this?" You know, and it was like it was a relational walk. I don't think every time we need to tell people, I don't think every time we even necessarily need to verbally say a prayer, not saying there's anything wrong with either of those. You know, sometimes I've had times where I feel like my mind's been tormented, and I feel like the Lord's just like, ignore that. Like literally, like has nothing to do with you. So don't even give it a second of thought. Like don't even give it any attention. Don't even respond. Just like it's like if somebody was like, I was, you know, down the street and someone started saying some nasty like slurs at me, I'd be walking, you know, I'd be like, that has nothing to do with me, you know, like, and I think that dimension of like the spirit realm and understanding that, like, in the same way God speaks to us oftentimes, not always, but as a feeling or a thought, in the same way, you know, I'm not trying to focus on this. I hope that this is okay. Like, and feel free to correct anything if you want. Like, I feel like, sometimes, you know, if people are like, you know, if people had times where someone walks into a room and you could feel kind of, or you could feel just someone walking into a room, right? And it's like, well, you know, there's spiritual dynamics, there's things that we don't understand, and there's spiritual communication. And I think the enemy, like, you know, like not to give him any credit, but at the same time, like there's times where a thought may come into our mind. It's not our thought, you know, it's not even our thought.
Yeah.
It's not our thought. It has nothing, exactly. It has no say, it has no vote, it has no power, it has no nothing. It is actually literally it's the rule and prince of the air of nothing, you know, like, you know, like, you know, like, you know, so it's like, it doesn't have any power, but at the same time, like, if we believe it, we empower in our own reality. It's like Adam and Eve, they were in the garden, they were made like God, but the devil said, if you want to be like God, it's like, they were like God. They were like God, likeness and image. They were like God. And the devil said, do you want to be like God? And he's like, whoa, 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 what a tricky little thing. Like this, like, you know, like what a tricky little thing to like, you know, try to trick somebody. But if they didn't believe that, it wouldn't have any power. But the fact that they actually were trusting that, and which I don't mean to like make it feel heavy, but like when we do that, and when I do that, and when anyone does that, we're not just distrusting God, we're trusting the devil over God. You know, like when we start thinking about how crazy it is, it's like, whoa, like God's truth is like the full truth. It's like, it should envelop all of my reality. They're like literally like walking on water. I mean, floating, like, you know, I've never done either one of those, but same time, like, you know, just being honest, you know, like, but at the same time, like those are like, anything's possible if he wants to do it. If it's on God's agenda, like, then party on, Wayne, you know, like party on, Garth, like let's go. And like, let's do, like, let's enjoy all that, like the party that he has invited us into, the party of heaven, heaven on earth. It's no longer here or there, but it's within you and it's all around you. I just feel like that's important, that like the thought, like the components of thoughts, and how like not every thought we have is ours. And I remember not even too long ago, like feeling like there was like these tormenting thoughts that were like happening repeatedly. And I was like, you know, and so I was like, Lord, like I was seeking him on it, you know, and I don't think you always need to do that. I'm not making a formula out of it, because like before I felt like times the Lord said to ignore it. And like, so this time I was like, but if I'm experiencing something repeatedly, I don't feel like that's my inheritance. And I want to be like, Lord, like what's going on? And I felt like the Lord just said something simple to me. He said, breathe. He said, just breathe, take a breath and stop thinking on that and think on something else. It was like so simple, but it was like a really profound like thing. It was just me walking with God. It wasn't like a formula. And I'm not telling anyone else to do that, because I don't think that's even, it would necessarily work for, you know, like that specific whatever. It's just like, you know, and I don't want to give credit to trauma. And I did have, you know, like, I feel like there was like certain things that I experienced growing up, whatever. And some of the things seem traumatic, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, just being, if I'm honest, I think some of those things bothered, like, have bothered and kind of, been ways that I've, opened doors if I let them to be, you know, in ways, not that they have any power, not that they're like in and of self a door, but if I let that fear of those things, whatever, have a place, then it, you know, it's basically like the same thing. Like when they're in the garden, if they believe it, if only if you believe it, you know, like it's only the dimension that you really have a lie over God's truth, you know? And so, and obviously like we're all being transformed by the renewing of our mind, you know? And so I love how I'm going kind of a little all over, but I love how Paul said, your obedience to this doctrine of teaching, you know, like when he's talking about the gospel. And it's so beautiful because he's not saying, oh, your obedience to like doing this and not doing this. It's like your obedience to the to this doctrine, to this teaching, to the obedience to this teaching that you obey in your heart to believe the good news, to believe what I've said.
Yeah.
Old is gone, the new has come, that you actually have the mind of Christ. I mean, like, I love that he says, like, who has the mind of Christ? And then he goes down and you're like, you have the mind of Christ, you know? And it's like, when we believe these things and we experience these things, we can walk in, like, I believe we can walk free from, you know, experiencing those things. And I'm not saying that I've always done that in any way, or I've got like some answer on that, or just, you know, whatever, done that.
In some victory, bro. I love those testimonies too, because they just give little pictures. If someone's listening to that, it'd be like one of those will highlight, and they'll be like, this is what the Lord may be speaking to me. 'Cause you gave like three, four examples of, you know, how Holy Spirit has brought you out of something, you know, out of something negative. Sometimes it's just saying, oh, that's not even my thought. I'm not gonna, you know, okay, some guy yelled F you on the street. I'm not gonna have to go process through 10 years. I can just ignore that. There's another time where Holy Spirit was like, go have these guys pray for you, and you know, and something lifts off, you know. And I think a lot of that, it's just really good pastoral counsel, because it's just, you're just giving examples, not prescribing exactly what to do, but and you're keeping it so relational. And so I think I would encourage, if someone's listening, maybe go back and listen to the last little 15 minutes that John just shared, because there's so many little nuggets in there. Just play it over a few times. It was really good, bro.
Yeah, it is interesting that like all those times it was like something that I felt like the Lord was like literally guiding, like how to respond to this, you know? And so it wasn't just like a any
Exactly. Relate,
idea of my own,
bro.
like whatever.
Yeah. We have a living God who's with us and in speaking, knows how to meet us with that, you know. Oh my God.
It
Good,
literally is
dude.
like it is the everything, you know, this union that we have with him. It's everything. It
Woo!
all comes back to that. And
Yes.
even recently I've just been thinking like I'm like you know like and, you know when certain thoughts come wherever it's like wait God you like just the simplicity of like he's already taken care of this he's tired of me experiencing these things and it's not like that it's not on his end it's like me like you know different places like just kind of embracing this truth or resting in that truth and I'm not saying that like I'm doing it on my own but the reality is that he's already finished this is already done. This is already completely done. So any place that I've experienced that, I need God to just renew my mind. And not in a some like work way, but just in a restful way of him brainwashing me with the water of his word, you know, with his Holy Spirit, you know, like in the truest, purest sense of brainwashing,
Yeah, bro. Dude, we were just talking about last night how Holy Spirit does this. And a friend of mine sent me this scripture this week, actually kind of as a joke. And it's just a funny, because one of the words was like a funny word, but then I was looking at it, I was like, this is exactly what Holy Spirit keeps bringing up over and over. It's always funny when the Holy Spirit speaks through the jokes that you're already joking about, you know. Let me see if I can find it here. It's from John. It was in John chapter 16. Where it's talking about, let me see if I can get this. Yeah, verse 13 and 14. Woo. John 16, 13, 14. I'm reading out of the Mirror Bible, a lot of glory. But it says, when she is come, the Spirit of truth, she will take you by the hand and guide you into the path of all truth. She will not draw attention to herself, but will communicate and unveil everything she hears and discerns from a heavenly perspective about the things that are going to happen within you. Holy Spirit will endorse my opinion of you by taking that which is mine and interpreting it in you. And I just love that. Like, again, it's like we're, it's not us sitting there trying to like figure it out, but it says Holy Spirit will take what is mine and interpret it inside of you. Like, and this is Jesus talking, right? So like Jesus is saying, if you don't understand something about my life, you're not feeling it like in your life. If like my life isn't feeling real to you, don't worry, because Holy Spirit is going to take what is mine and interpret it inside of you. So I don't
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh man.
But yeah, it's in that relationship, bro. Like you're saying, like it can't just be ideas and concepts. We move from that realm of trying to figure everything out.
Yeah.
And I think that's the glory too. Like when we always used to say, like, less thinking, more drinking, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I'm not sitting here trying to apply all these truths to my life. If it was that, then I would be my savior, you know, but it's Holy Spirit leading me into all truth. And sometimes Holy Spirit might lead you into, you know, to go to a rehab program, or lead you to, you know, go to a gratitude training, or might lead you to go to the doctor, or might lead you to ask someone to pray for you. But it's Holy Spirit, you know. In that Trinitarian dance, like you were talking about, like,
yeah,
like, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So it makes good,
me think of a Todd White's testimony, where like he went to a rehab program and the Holy Spirit told him to leave, you know, like he had encounters,
yeah.
And his story is like such a radical testimony of like, you know, the new creation of like, you know, he was stuck in all these things like hard, and literally instantly got delivered from them all, you know, just like walking complete freedom of him. And it wasn't any of his effort. It was just the gospel, you know, just the gospel.
On, bro.
His like spiritual father, Dan Moeller, like just preaching the gospel faithfully and consistently,
yeah.
And being a down to earth dude that just preached the gospel, you know, and like it. You're
well, yeah, we want to underestimate the power of just the gospel, right? Paul said the gospel is the power of God.
Yeah.
And a lot of like, yes, I totally understand the gospel, but what do I need to add to it to be real? You know, it's like, no,
this just the gospel. Yeah, it really is just the gospel. And it's like any ways that we may have like blinders from like certain like simplicities of it, like God, like let me see clearly your gospel, see you clearly. It all is just about just seeing him in his truth. Like it's all it is. It's nothing else. Obviously, like sometimes it may be like a brother or sister, like, hey, do you see, like, you're not seeing this part of the gospel, or you're not seeing this,
yeah.
You're not seeing this of who he is, like his nature, like that he's already forgotten that, buddy, you know, or whatever it is, or I know that happened to you, and that's so painful, and God knows it. He was there with you, like in the midst of it, like he wasn't like so much like you know, he was weeping, like that he's given men freedom to do things, you know, like, and at the same time, he's made you whole. He's made you whole. If he says it, like, I love that word, you know, salvation, like that he is our salvation. It means healing, wholeness, deliverance, preservation, protection. Like all of this is Jesus. He is our salvation. And it's no longer us who live, but Christ who lives in us. And so wholeness is literally one with us. Is literally one with us. We become one with healing and deliverance and wholeness and preservation and protection. We become one with that, like, and not with that, but like him, you know. And and it's just true. Like I was molested. I was physically, you know, certain views, never my parents ever, but like, you know, it was actually a religious figure that did the sexual thing. It was like, and it was really minimal. And honestly, I feel like almost sometimes it's almost feel bad saying that, because it's like some people have had like things that were just way more like, you know, bona fide or whatever. But I can't call it any less than it was because of what it was. But at the same time, like Christ Christ makes all things new. Like the old is gone, new has come. You know, and it's like, and it is the beauty of Christ that he can take anything that's, no matter what you've been through, and like no matter what you're going through, and no matter what you will go through, and he can hold you in himself in complete peace in it, you know. And I want to walk in that more. I want to walk in, like, you know, like where always I'm just in peace. And I don't think I always walk in experiencing that, but I want to, you know, and I know that like that's our portion, you know, that's our portion. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that really too, bro. Cause it's like, sometimes people hear us sharing this stuff and they think you've never been through anything tough. Cause honestly, for me, like, I just don't need to talk about it much anymore. And I even felt that with you. You're like, I'll just throw it out there. But it's obviously like, Holy Spirit really made you feel healed and whole, you know? Yeah. And, but it's not that like we're this drunk and happy on the gospel because we've never been through anything, you know? But there is genuine wholeness. There's an authentic peace that passes understanding.
separate us from his love.
Yeah, come on, bro. So good. Well, yeah, we'll probably start wrapping this up, but was there anything else you wanted to kind of share?
I can't think. I want to know if there's anything else that you want to add to it. I probably like yeah, just talk a lot. I'd love to hear anything you want to add to it, because I just feel like you, yeah, there's probably so much you can share into this, man.
Well, talking with you, bro, we could talk for hours about a million things. You know, so that's what's fun. That's what's fun when you talk to people that this is their life. You know, like this is like what you're living and breathing every day and thinking about, like probably on your drive to work, you're thinking about the gospel and you're like, you know, like you're just obsessed. And then there's a million rabbit trails that like spill out of it. But no, I think we, you know, what we talked about today, it really seems to be what Holy Spirit's breathing on recently in a lot of conversations. So, and I just really appreciate your perspective, man. And, you know, if someone's watching this and you have a question or you want to talk more about it, or you want to pray, like I know both John and I would love to do that. And, I know you've been putting out some resources recently. I love you just to, how can we find you, man? Like, if we go on YouTube and we search Fire Inside Cat. Or
yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Like, I mean, there's probably like, sometimes there's like, you know, four watches or something. Like I feel like Lord's actually like, don't look into that. Don't look at that. Just pour out what you want. But basically, Fire Inside Chat, John Almaguer, yeah. YouTube.
Yeah. it's really good. And you're still doing glass blowing in Asheville. Man. If people, where do they go and at if they're in Asheville to find your stuff, to find your art?
So Philip D'Angelo Studios, I think that's what it is. I'm gonna have I just made an agreement with him to put my work in there in Asheville only. And so nice. It'll be there within days. Probably by the time this is up, I'll probably have my work in that gallery. And it's a great guy. Just but
Philip D'Angelo.
Yeah, if you cool. look at Philip D'Angelo Studios Asheville, you won't be able to miss it. Yeah, he's so. Prolific artist, and he's hosting now. He's kind of curating his gallery in a different way and bringing in some new artists, and I'm really excited to have my work there. But my work is in different places. You can find it at my last name, which is just almaguerglass.com as well.
Yes, that's right. You have a website, and people can order some of your stuff there. Yeah, dude, it's if yeah, I love that you're an artist at heart too, bro. So it's like expressing this reality of the Trinity in like physical ways and like hammered. Well, cool, man. Thanks for being on, bro. Really appreciate you. Just love you, man. And everybody that's watching, hope you got something good out of this. Let us know, like, share, whatever. So we're just happy to be included together with you. So all right, we're going to bring it to a close. Thanks, guys, for watching the Firehouse Chronicles or listening. And we hope you tune in next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to the Firehouse Chronicles with Matt and Katie Spinks. Check out all of the events and other Grace and Glory resources we've been inspired to host at thefirehouseprojects.com. There's so much brewing right now. Also, Matt and Katie do ministry full-time with the support of partners like you. So if you're blessed by our ministry, would you consider becoming a monthly partner or making a one-time donation at thefirehouseprojects.com/donate? The more partnership we have, the more resources and nations we get to reach with this glorious good news. So thank you so much. Cheers, deep drinks, and until next time.